as to the fact that we are to preach Jesus Christ. And I felt almost as though he looked at some of my notes for today's sermon, because some of the things that he touched on were so pertinent to the thoughts that are running in my heart about lifting up the name of Jesus Christ above all things, and the aspect of his salvation to us primarily in our lives. But looking at verse 24 from chapter 3, and then going into chapter 4 and reading 11 verses from there, and keep in mind that we're thinking about some thoughts about the Spirit is trying to take away the preaching of the true Jesus. And that's a thought here. And the other thought is that love is to predominate the Christian life in all that we do. And again, chapter 3, verse 24, he that keepeth the commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the Spirit of God and the spirit of error. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. That's the last verse that I'm going to read for this section. But I'd like to just look at some of these thoughts and let you know how they have touched me. I've been a wonderful week of meditating on the things of God. In verse 24 of chapter 3, just setting this up, is it does. He that keepeth his commandments, and the commandments were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another as he commanded us. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he has given us. We know that Christ abides in us and we in Christ because of the Spirit. We know that Christ is in us of the truth because of the Spirit that he has placed within us. I feel like sometimes when we think about what does that exactly mean that the Spirit is in us, there's a sense of knowing that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And John lays out some directives in this to let you know that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and how you can affirm that and confirm that you have believed in Christ. Because if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, you do not belong to God. Bible said, if any man hath not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. But you are of his. And to be constantly affirming that in your heart is something the Spirit would have us do so that we might go through saying that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, the true Spirit of God, because we know that there is a spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of the world, and our own fallen nature, which might be reckoned as our soul or a fallen mankind. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So when it says try the spirit, it means test. Or put that to the test. Why? So we can determine that who is of God and who is not of God. Or who is a false prophet and who is not a false prophet. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, and here's how we know that. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There was a heresy that said that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, and that he only came in a spiritual sense. And so therefore, he never really suffered, and he was never here bodily, but only appeared to be. That heresy obviously was dispelled, but some people hold those false thoughts even today that the real Messiah, in essence, has not come. And so the essence of the spirit of Antichrist is that spirit of the world that would present another Jesus and a different gospel. Interesting, Michael said those same things today. But I've always loved 1 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul was exhorting his readers to not accept anything but the real deal, the genuine Jesus Christ. My thought is this, that there are many people that preach Jesus, but they preach a sham of a Jesus. There is only one Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Praise God. Galatians 1:8 says, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, that's a heavy statement. Always been a heavy statement when I thought of that. That for someone to come out and preach a different gospel or a different Jesus, there is an anathema laid upon that person from the Word of God. They are accursed. And both for preaching it and for those that would accept that, they don't have the true Jesus in their heart. Michael pointed to the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, which preach another Jesus. They don't preach the eternal Son of God. They preach that God lived in an eternity past and had sexual relations with another God, and somehow these sexual relations brought about Jesus and a myriad of other spirits. And that is false. And there is only one true Jesus who had no beginning and has no end. He is eternal, infinite, ever present with the Lord God Almighty. Will you say amen to that? Amen. If you're saying amen to that, you're on the right path of knowing who the true Jesus is. Then he goes on in verse 3 and says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Then he said, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So this is the test. Do they confess Jesus came in the flesh or only in the spirit? And what are the implications of not confessing that Jesus came in the flesh? Well, if Jesus didn't come in the flesh, then there would be no incarnation. there would be no true Messiah who came from the line of David. There would be no one to come and live a perfect life if he didn't come in the flesh. There would be no one who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There would be no perfect lamb for the slaying on the cross of Calvary if he didn't come in the flesh. But Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus came as a perfect man. Jesus is all man, but Jesus is all God. And I thank God that as that sinks into your mind and into your understanding, we have a Savior that loved us so much that he stepped into time to be able to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah. When I think about the love that Christ had, I am astounded. I'm astounded that God would step into this earthly realm and there die for my sins. This then is the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist promotes false religion. Every religion that does not confess Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God is a false religion and is under a curse. Well, some people may say, you seem a little restrictive in that. Aren't there many ways to God? There are not many ways to God. There is one way to God. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There is one way. It's not my way. It's God's way. It's what the Word of God says, that there is only one true Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God. He died for your sins. He rose again. That's who we preach, that God. And if you have not accepted that God as your Lord and Savior, you have no hope of eternal life. If you think you're going to get there because you come to church, this church, then you're under a delusion. If you think you're going to get there because your parents believe in Jesus Christ, you're under a delusion. I've heard it said, God has no grandchildren. There are only sons and daughters of the living God. Are you one of them? God laid in my heart that the most important thing I can say to you is that you need Jesus Christ in your heart. You need to know him as your Savior. Amen. Nothing else is important. Nothing else is important compared to that. I know that we have political differences even in this church. Governments are going to come and go, folks. Jesus Christ remains. Jesus Christ remains. There's no issue in your life. There's no issue in this world that is as important as what you do with Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. If you have Christ in your life, you've made him the Lord of your life, and you're living for him, everything else is going to fall in place. It may fall apart first, but it's going to fall in place. Because the Bible told me that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are living for him and have died to your old self, no longer trusting in any of your life, only in Jesus Christ, be assured God's going to work it out. He's going to work it out. I know there's some people going through some major difficulties in this church, in your life, but God's going to work it out. False religions exclude the blood of Jesus Christ as the only means of forgiveness of sins. They deny the true Christ They deny the Trinity. They deny the eternal Son of God. So a false religion would exclude the blood of Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. When I say the blood, I mean the life is in the blood. He gave his life on Calvary, which is symbolized by the blood, which we are going to exercise a demonstration or a memorial of that this day as we take communion. The life is in the blood. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, gave his life. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that's what he calls for you each day, to come here and receive him, or anywhere. Christ is everywhere. Verse 4 said, ye are of God, little children, if Christ be in you. And you have overcome them. Well, who? Those who preach a false Christ. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I am telling you, whenever anything has struck me, physically, mentally, emotionally, situationally, I look within myself and I realize I am indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. My, oh my. Is there anything that we can't accomplish if Christ dwells in you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank God for that. They are the world. They speak of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, when somebody preaches a false Christ, have you ever seen what a great audience they get? When Oprah Winfrey preaches a false Christ, do you see what a following she has? And not to point just to her, but most every one of those Hollywood greats end up saying there are many ways to come to heaven, many ways to get to God. There is no other way other than Jesus Christ. And I know I've told you this before, and I'll ask you this again. Which heaven do you want to go to? The Hollywood heaven, or the heaven where Jesus is?
Jesus.
I want to be in the heaven where Jesus is. I don't want to go to Hollywood heaven. I don't want to go to the place where you can get there as best you can. And there are many ways to get to that Hollywood heaven. I don't want the Hollywood heaven. I want the heaven that was purchased for me by the blood of God Almighty and the cross of Calvary. That's the heaven I want. That's a heaven where I already am. For the Bible said, I am already seated together with Christ in heavenly places. For he is the head, I am the body. I am united with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What kind of an audience do people get that preach that God is everywhere and everything? I can't stand the generic God. I told you that before. I don't want people saying God bless me if they don't bless me in the name of Jesus Christ. Whose God are they blessing me by? Satan bless you? Allah bless you? No, Jesus Christ blessed me already. And I thank God for that. I'm the blessing of Christ upon me. The Lord God Almighty bless you and keep you. That's the one I want blessed in the name of. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter quite what you believe, just so you're sincere. See how that works on the day of judgment. If you're sincere when you try to jump across the Grand Canyon, how many think are going to make that mile stretch? Not even Evel Knievel could do that on a motorcycle. Shalom. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. That Jesus is the only way? Amen. He asked that in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hallelujah. You know, three times John has talked about love. And sometimes when I think about love, you know, I'm more into an aggressive love. When I think of love, I think about Christ's passion on the cross, that kind of love. So I want to think about that love. I don't recall it puppy love. And they called it. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of love that loves so much that is willing to die for the cause. There's a love of country. I don't mind talking about that for people that have laid down their life for the country, laid down their life for the family. But who could top laying down your life and you being God? God is the one that laid down his life for you. Imagine that. No greater love. No greater love. So it's not some syrupy, pithy, inane love. It's strong. It's great love. That's the kind of love I love. Who wouldn't love that? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. I mean, are you fitting into this? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'm making a statement right now. It is impossible to love as it is being declared there unless you are born again. You don't know love until you know God. You hear me? I don't care who it is. The greatest sacrifice they could make. In fact, it says that in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I give my body to be burned and have not love. And the love it's speaking of there is not just this worldly love that everybody says, oh, they love this one, or even a sacrificial love. It cannot compare with the love that is produced within you when you are born again. Of course, there's some people that have sort of laid that aside. They're not living in the full glory of that love that has been placed in you. And you know why that love is in you? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Holy Spirit within cannot love with the kind of love that is being declared here. In this way was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Do you hear that? That we might live through him. Many people out here in this congregation are trying to live their own lives and let Christ come along and live with them. No, 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 no. You are not your own. You are bought for the price, the blood of Jesus. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I belong to him, and he belongs to me forever and forever. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. That's truth. Herein is love. Not that we love God. You didn't muster this up in yourself. But that God loved us and sent his son to be that propitiation, that satisfaction for sin, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. There's the criteria. What am I basing my love for you on? Because God loved me. And if God loved me so much to give his own love, I want to be able to love you in like manner. In and of myself? No. But God dwelleth in me, and I would have him love you through me. Said we live through him. That's what it is. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So I said three times John has mentioned this. The first time he mentioned this as a test for fellowship. If you love, you have fellowship with God. Second time he mentioned in John 3, 10 through 14, it's the proof of sonship. If you love God with this kind of love, you are a son of God. That is an evidence of that, which I just said. You can't love unless you've been born again. But now here in John 4, 17 through 16, love is given as the test of the reality of our spiritual life. If you don't have this love, then you don't have that kind of spiritual life that God has offered you. It is love. It is seen in love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. I just said it. He just said it. You're born again. You're born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This kind of love, then, this born again spiritual love, is the test of our spiritual life in Christ. As much as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me, Jesus said. Because you did it because you love Christ and you let him love through you to others. As much as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And as much as you have done it by the love with which I have placed within you, you have let me love them through you. And that's what God wants to do. If you are born of God, you have this born again love. If you are not born of God, you don't have this born again love. You have a worldly love. If you know God, you will love. Verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, that we might live through him. So it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And that is the thought you have to keep in your mind, that you will want to keep in your mind when you're truly born again. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We can't muster up the perfect love that God deserves in and of ourselves until we are born again and that spiritual life is quickened within us where we have the love that he expressed for us. Now I'm getting to a close here. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That is a directive. You ought to do that. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So as God dwells in us, his love is perfected in us. Without him, we can do nothing. If you don't have God in you, if you've not been born again, you can't have that love. And if you do not have that love, it can never be perfected. But because you have the love of God within you, he is seeking to perfect that love within you. Now, I only have a few thoughts here. Love is seen in action by those that have love. It cannot help but demonstrate itself. When God's love is in you, it is expressed outwardly. It's almost impossible to restrain it. You have to make a concerted effort to do that. But after having said that, love is not an action. It's a presence. Love is the presence of Christ within you. That's the beauty of it. But it will express itself in action. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives manifests himself in expressions of love to the brethren and to all mankind. Verse 13, my last verse. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So he's made a complete circle here and put all that stuff in there. Is that the first verse I read to you, verse 24, chapter 3, said, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. And then verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. It's the Spirit of God within you. Being that the Spirit of God is in us, we love. The love that fills us is the presence of the Spirit of God within us. So we must not let the world, the flesh, or the devil block the love of God from being expressed in our lives. And some people have effectually tried to do that. For whatever reason, I don't know. We want to be yielded to that kind of love emanating from the Holy Spirit. So let the love of God pour forth from you. I'm going to close with a thought that's been in my heart for quite a while now. I love to come in, and when I do have a voice, which is not much today, I love to sing. And I love to sing glory to God. But I want to do a good job with it. I want to sing on pitch, and I love to harmonize, and I want to be able to hear a bunch of people. A lot of the singing that I do might involve my flesh in the sense that I want to do a good job. But you know, God wouldn't care if I clucked like a duck if I was trying to give glory with all my heart. So if we got some toads out there, or horses, like, right, I'm a little bit hoarse. Do I look like a horse to you? No. It doesn't matter if you are bringing that kind of born-again love and expressing that to God. Does it matter? But listen to this thought. I have been working on this thought, and it struck me. So I have wrestled with the essence of true worship. How we in ourselves... And you've heard me say this, I lack the glorious vocabulary to express the magnificence of God. Are there any words that you think that you could say that might be adequate to glorify God? How many out there feel like they come short? I can say, God, you're wonderful, you're glorious, you're magnificent, but I feel like there's more. Even the angels, I feel like, after they said, holy, 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 there's more. He deserves more because he's the perfect one. So, that being said, that I have come to the realization that I will never achieve a fit and adequate worship of God in myself, that is in my flesh. Is all lost? I hope not. Here's what God laid in my heart. Most people, if they had this kind of a thought or revelation, would run this and write a book, but I'm not gonna write a book. Glory be to God. Now listen to this. I am not to look to my flesh to worship God. I'm not to look to this body. For in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That means in my old nature, not in my skin and bones, but in that old nature. There is no good thing that dwelleth in me. And what could I offer of my flesh to God except death. The Bible says death. Now consider this, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God does not need any greater worship than that which he can give himself. Do you realize that? Do you think God was lonely before the world or universe was created? I've heard some people say, well, God was lonely, so he created man. Well, man, he took a long time doing it because he lived eons, I mean, eternally before that. Why would he choose in time? He was not lonely. There was divine communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit throughout all eternity. Get that in your mind. God doesn't need us. He is complete in himself. But what we are was an expression of his love. And he decided to step out of his own self and express his love in time and eternity, in time, in creating us. So, again, considering that God does not need anyone greater than himself or equal to himself or lesser than himself to worship him. He's the only one who can give an adequate praise and worship to himself. So God has not created us to worship him in the flesh. Now you've heard me say, why was man created? And the Westminster Catechism said he was created to glorify God. But there's something that is not in there that should be. Not to worship and glorify God in a fleshly manner, or just clapping our hands, or any way we could emotionally stir ourselves. For all our fleshly worship is tainted with the corruption of our old nature. So here's my closing. How then can we fulfill the directive of worshiping God? We can only fulfill this by being born of the Spirit. As we are born again, we have a new spirit, the Holy Spirit, given us by God. I thought about the Old Testament tabernacle. What made that unique, the Old Testament tabernacle? Why, was it the sacrificial altar when you first walked in? Was it the laver where they washed? When they went through the second curtain, was it the table of showbread? Was it the candelabra that was lit? Was it the altar of incense? Or when you stepped in the Holy of Holies, was it the Ark of the Covenant that made that special, that made it unique? You know what made that unique? The Spirit of God was in the Holy of Holies. Amen. That's what made it unique. That's what made it the place of worship. God has given me a body. And though it is corrupted, I am nevertheless the temple of the living God. You know why? Because I preach, because I know some of the Bible, because some people have come to Christ, been touched by God. You know what makes me and you unique? We are indwelt by the Spirit of the living God. And it is by the Spirit of the living God, it is the Holy Spirit that wants to worship God. We are but the conduit with which the Spirit will worship God. No longer will I feel inadequate in my worship, but I will yield myself to let the Holy Spirit worship God through me. And though this earthly tabernacle will be torn down, I have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and glory of God may go to heaven and glorify Christ. God will worship himself through you. Give yourself to him this day. May God bless you.